Good morning in the name of Christ. God is a God of the living. My first thought after reading the gospel for today was, I don't want to be married to my ex-husband. That just, no thank you in the afterlife. This, of course, was just part of the riddle Jesus was presented with. It wasn't about who was married to whom. It was about the resurrection. I remember the Left Behind series of books, which brought to life much of what the authors imagined the afterlife would be. It was a cheesy, fantastical read, which I couldn't and didn't take seriously. Another book that comes to mind is What Dreams May Come. I don't know if any of you know or remember that, but it was made into a movie starring Robin Williams. It's a surreal tale of the afterlife. The main character, Chris, dies in a car crash and is being guided by an old friend. Chris finds out his wife has died and is in hell. He goes to rescue her. In case you haven't read it and want to, I am not going to spoil it, the ending for you. This book was much more realistic for me because it portrayed what love in the afterlife might look like. There are many such books attempting to describe the afterlife. However, we wrong ourselves and wrong the truth of Christ when we form our notions of the afterworld by this world of sense. We think the world will be just as we see it now. We are part of this present visible world, but will be part of a future unseen world. What will be the happy state of the inhabitants of that world, which we can't express or conceive of? In the gospel today, Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem for the final time, and he knows his last moments on earth are at hand. He's cleansed the temple and wept over Jerusalem. This gospel passage is the third time Jesus has been questioned. His popularity has prevented him from being seized because the chief priests do not want a riot. Instead, they go behind the scenes and begin spreading unease about Jesus. In Luke 21 through 8, his authority was questioned by the chief priests and the scribes, who asked him, "By whose authority are you doing these things?" Jesus answered with a question of his own. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? The chief priests and scribes were stumped by the question. They felt trapped, so they said they didn't know. So, in return, Jesus wouldn't tell them by whose authority he did the things he was doing. The second question came from spies sent to ask him about paying taxes. Was that a lawful thing to do? Jesus asked to look at a coin and asked them, whose image and whose title does it bear? Because it bore the emperor's image, Jesus told them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. This third time, the Sadducees are fed up with what they have heard and decide to confront Jesus themselves. This is the only exclusive meeting mentioned in the Gospel of Luke between Jesus and the Sadducees, and they were the ones that approached him. They were frustrated with the reports they received back from chief priests and the scribes. The Sadducees thought they had Jesus in their sights and would be able to condemn him right then and there. So they gave him a riddle. Pretty silly of them. It was typical for rabbis, though, to pose riddles to one another, to test, amaze, and baffle their audiences and students, as well as to ridicule their rivals. The Sadducees sought to make life after death a bit ridiculous. The story of the one woman and the seven brothers was supposed to be their ironclad argument against resurrection. Jesus, of course, avoids their trap by pointing out that resurrection life is not meant to be a mere continuation of earthly existence. Rather, it is a radical transformation into a completely different, unimagined state of being. Jesus asserts his authority and points out the differences between political and religious expectations and his own prophetic pronouncements of God's kingdom. Jesus' answer is that the resurrection life is not this life all over again. It is a new existence in which we participate in God's eternity. God told Moses that he was the God of his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus quoted this line from Exodus 3:6. This in-your-face answer to the Sadducees is, your own tradition implies that the dead still live. So he basically turned the tables on them. In response, one of the scribes present said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." This scribe is believed to have come from the Pharisaical tradition, not the Sadducees. You see, there were differences in what the Sadducees and Pharisees believed. The Pharisees believed in divine sovereignty, whereas the Sadducees believed in human free will. Pharisees believed in angels and demons. Sadducees denied their very existence. The Pharisees taught from the writings of Torah, prophets. The Sadducees only accepted the Torah. Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, and the Sadducees denied it because they didn't think the Torah addressed it. But we see how Jesus showed them that the Torah did address it. The Pharisees had a more progressive theological outlook, whereas the Sadducees were more conservative and relied on the Torah only. They were much more legalistic than the progressive Pharisees, and resurrection was a major dispute between the two. The Romans and the Greeks of that time also believed in the immortality of the soul. Recently, this was discussed, the end times were discussed in my systematic theology class. It was rather interesting. The discussion centered around the end times and whether we were pre, post, or amillennial. To me, it didn't matter. We were required to write a paper critiquing our church's statement of belief on this topic. Well, I did my research, but I found nothing in the ELCA's statement that addressed the end times. And so I asked several people why this was. Basically, I was told that it's a mystery and not ours to figure out, which I was okay with. I agree, resurrection is a mystery, and we do not know the time or the how or the happening. In the second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul addresses this very issue of the end times. There were arguments between the Christians of that day that the day of the Lord had already arrived. I suppose they would be considered amillennial. Paul assured these new believers that the only thing they needed was to not divert their attention away from the gospel news of Jesus. It didn't matter. The end times didn't matter. He wanted them to focus on the gospel. Therefore, the end times, the resurrection, should not be our focus. Rather, we should focus on the comfort of knowing that Christ will come again. This gives us hope for the future. The good news for us is that after we invite Jesus' resurrection presence in, we will enter a new life after our resurrection. It is a new existence in which we participate in God's eternity. Jesus says in verse 38, "Now he is a God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive." In the kingdom that is coming, men and women will live as children of God, alive to God. There will be no need to protect widows, no need for a mother to watch a child die. All that is contingent, cultural, political, and yes, even religious, will burn away. Then we will be transformed into the image of Jesus. May God's people work to make the world more like the one to come. God is a God of the living, not of the dead. Amen.